Aren't you glad that Thanksgiving is over? I mean, I'm really thankful for everything. But man, for somebody who tries to like monitor and be disciplined in their eating, this is such a hard time. There's so many good things. I think I ate like half a huge bag of somebody's caramel corn that they made and just paid for it last night. We've been in a series. David is a man after God's own heart. Those are God's words. That's what God said about David, King David. He's a man after my own heart. He has a heart like mine. And so a while back, Kevin and Scott and I looked through Psalms to see what David said about God. So if you're looking at the guy who's got a heart after God, and what he says about God is probably a pretty important thing. So we've been looking at the different things that he said about God. Today we're going to look at the fact that David, in a number of places, said, "You're the God who rescues me." And I don't know if you've ever been rescued before, or if you've ever been in the place where you needed to be rescued. I was searching my mind. The only time I can ever think that I needed to be rescued was I was probably in the seventh grade, living in Westport. We moved to Westport from Oregon City because they were building the mill at Wana, and my parents were having a house built in Oregon or in Klatskanai. So we lived in Westport when we first came here for, I don't know, 9 months or so. Westport is a very tiny city, if you haven't noticed. We lived in the Westport Motel, and I don't know how, but sometime I ended up hiking up in the woods behind the Westport Motel, and there is nothing but woods back there. You can go for a long ways. And I remember being lost, and I don't ever remember being lost before. And that feeling that you have when, and I was only a little kid, and I was by myself, which I don't know what I was doing out there. I don't know what kind of mother would let her son run around in the woods. But anyway, I was up there, and I got lost, and I couldn't figure out. I was in a ravine, and I couldn't figure out where to go, and I wasn't old enough to know about the sun and the direction and all that stuff. And so I kept trying to remember how I got in here and trying to find my way out. And at one point, I think I thought, I'm not going to get out of here. And somebody's going to have to find me because I can't figure out how to get out of this place. And even though I was young, it was a pretty frightening thing to be have that feeling like the only way I'm going to get through this situation is if somebody comes along and helps me, somebody rescues me. Many of you have had much more traumatic experiences with being rescued. Some of you I know have been rescued in some very difficult situations where you literally were picked up out of that situation and set in a safe place, a solid place. David had so many of these experiences where God rescued him that it's even hard to relate to. And so when I was reading through this verse that is kind of the verse that we attached to this idea of God, you rescue me, it's Psalm 25. There's notes. You should have those if you don't have them. There's some at the front, at the desk out in the front. Verse 25 says this, and I'm going to read verse 5 and 16 and through 21. "Lead me by your truth," David said. These are David's words. "Lead me by your truth and teach me, for you are the God who saves me," or the God who rescues me. "All day long I put my hope in you." Verse 16, "Turn to me and have mercy, for I am alone in my deep distress." Have you ever felt like that? I think all of us have felt like we've been in deep distress. Some of us have spent jobs, some relationships. There are a lot of reasons why you can feel like you're alone and in deep distress. But this is what David says, "My problems go from bad to worse. Oh, save me from them all. Feel my pain and see my trouble. Forgive my sins." Uh-oh. This is where it becomes real. It's not just the situation I'm in, but the situation I'm in was probably caused because I felt like there's something inside of me that separated me from God. "See how many enemies I have and how viciously they hate me. Protect me. Rescue my life from them. Rescue my life from these people who viciously hate me. Do not let me be disgraced, for in you I take refuge. My integrity and honesty protect me. I put my hope in you. There's a lot in there. I mean, one of the whole ideas behind understanding what David says about God being a reflection of how his heart is connected with God's heart is that he says things like this, and they're so packed with truth, so packed with experience, that it's hard for us as Americans who really rarely struggle with much of anything. I mean, no offense, but the things that we deal with compared to what David was dealing with are pretty minuscule. This word rescue is found 326 times in the Bible, and 102 of them are in Psalms, or the other way to look at that are out of 326 times it's mentioned in the Bible, 102 of them are coming out of David's mouth. Rescue me, to be rescued, delivered, saved. There's a lot of different ways of looking at what it means to be rescued, and I put a couple scriptures here. Psalm 17, verse 7, show me your unfailing love in wonderful ways. By your mighty power, you rescue those who seek refuge from their enemies. Or Psalm 119, I cry out to you, rescue me that I may obey your laws. Rescue me from the fact that I don't obey your laws. And then 2 Samuel 22, you rescue the humble, but your eyes watch the proud and humiliate them. So you rescue those who are humble, but the proud you treat a completely different way. So I'm looking at this whole thing. I get to verse 2 Samuel verse 22, and it starts out the Song of David. And I'm like, yeah, I've seen that before, but this whole idea of being rescued is in a song. And so I look at the Song of David, and I think, this would be cool, because I'm thinking, how do I communicate this whole idea of being rescued by God? And I think, well, I'll use this song. This is a great place to pull David's heart from. And then I find out that it's 50 verses long. And I'm like, there's no way. I can't do this. I can't. That's too much to focus on in a teaching time. And this was on Monday, and I was kind of looking through it, and I realized that that same song was also in Psalm 18. So David actually wrote it. It was wrote about David in 2 Samuel. He had this song and he sang it, but it was also, David put it in the Psalms, took the same song, it's almost word for word in Psalm 18. And then on Monday, as I was thinking about this and just pondering how I was going to take this information and somehow incorporate it into a teaching, the Lord said this, you will begin to understand the heart of David when you sing the Song of David. And I'm like, oh no. You got to be kidding me. When you sing the Song of David, you'll begin to understand the heart of David. Or the other way of looking at it is, you won't understand the heart of David unless you sing the Song of David. And it was like I felt like I was backed up against the wall, you know, that I could feel the wall against my back. Well, this song is in 2 Samuel 22. It's changed a little tiny bit in Psalm 18 because David kind of frames it in a way where it can be helpful to the priests that are in the temple, because that's where those songs were sung. And it's considered a royal hymn of thanksgiving. Now I started to think, well, if this is important to you, Lord, then what happens when you sing? Why is that important? And I watched a couple videos and read a couple articles about what happens when we sing. There's all kinds of neuroscience to the whole thing about how different parts of our brain light up when we sing and other places light up, you know, and how that affects us emotionally and our memory, and why do we remember songs, and why do some songs stick in our head and other songs you can't remember them for the life of you. How John Wesley and his brother wrote hundreds of songs in a very short period of time that all became part of hymnals that were sung for years and years and years and became a part of, ingrained in people's hearts. So I started thinking about all that stuff, and I think I put a quote in here by Cassandra Shepherd. She was talking about the neuroscience of singing. She says that when we sing, our neurotransmitters connect in new and different ways. Singing fires up the right temporal lobe of our brain, releasing endorphins that make us smarter, healthier, happier, and more creative. I would say we should sing. But if songs can release endorphins that make us smarter, healthier, happier, more creative, and a better memory, then that's a good thing. And I love the last line of this. When we sing when we sing with other people, this effect is amplified. And so, you know, one of the things we struggle with is, you know, picking and choosing what kinds of worship we like, we're attracted to. And I like this worship, I don't like this. I like this song, I don't like this song. And one of the things I always have to fight through, or I don't have to fight through, but I've choose to fight through, is I don't care who's singing or what we're singing, God's there in the midst of it. I'm going to find him in that song. I'm going to find him somewhere in that song. I'm not going to let my taste in music dictate whether or not I engage with God when we're singing. Because this is a place like no other when we're together singing a song. I'm over there singing. They're up here. Annie and Adam are up here singing. I'm over there singing something different. Dwayne's over here singing something different. Sandy's singing something different. And it all blends together and it's beautiful. We're all singing together. So anyway, so David has a song. And apparently the Lord said that we're not going to understand David's heart until we sing David's song. So Kevin, I've asked Kevin to help me and Jerry to help me, and we're going to sing our way through Psalm 18. We'll talk about it a little bit. This song that you have in your notes, which is Psalm 18, is a song that Second Samuel 22. It's at the end of the book, and it says, after fighting all of his battles, after being set free from Saul, David sang this song. But the people who are theologians and study things like this believe that David sang this song all through his life. From the moment he encountered resistance from Saul, he started developing a song in his heart, and he sang it all through his life. And it became part of who he was. It became part of the way he lived his life. It became part of the way he fought his battles. And yet, at the end of his life, he puts the song down in 2 Samuel and then also puts it into Psalm 18 as a reflection of his journey with God. A theologian by the name of Morgan said this, the psalm is a great summary of David's whole character and attitude through life. Which is good, because that's what we're looking for. How's David's heart connect with God? Such convictions of the absolute sovereignty of Jehovah, of his omnipotent power to deliver, of the necessity for obedience to his law, and the assurance that in case of such obedience, he never acts for his people, constitute the underlying strength of David's character. In other words, David's character is a reflection of God's character and the way that God treated him. David experienced deliverance in a lot of different ways. He was delivered from Goliath. He was delivered from Saul. He was delivered from backsliding. He was delivered from Israel's enemies. He was delivered from Absalom. And he was even delivered from his own sinful passions. David was rescued a lot during his life. I would bet that he was rescued more than any of us. There were times when we needed to be rescued, when we didn't have a relationship with God, where it would have changed our life had we been rescued by God during those times. But we weren't in a relationship with God like David was. And I think that changed everything for David. It was different for him because he had a different relationship with God. So this is how Psalm 18 starts. And I love it. It starts out, I love you, Lord. That's how David starts the song that he wants to sing. Is I love you, Lord. You are my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my savior. My God is my rock in whom I find protection. He is my shield, the power that saves me, and my safe and my place of safety. I called on the Lord who is worthy of praise, and he saved me from my enemies. Oh, I forgot the heading behind this. For the choir director, this is who David wrote it for. A Psalm of David, the servant of the Lord. He sang this song to the Lord on the day of the Lord, on the day the Lord rescued him from all of his enemies and from Saul. He sang this song to the Lord Everybody knows the scene when he brought the Ark of the Covenant back into Jerusalem, and he's dancing, and Michael's up there watching him. His wife is up there watching him and is totally offended by what he's doing because he's dancing wildly before the Lord, before the Ark, before the presence. He's undignified in the way that he approaches Jerusalem with the Ark. And they would take like 6 steps and dance and do some sacrifices and a big bloody mess, and they'd take 6 more steps and they'd sacrifice some more. And it was just an honor of God that they would do this. That's the heart of David. He treated God like that. He honored God like that. But he also sang. I don't think he was just dancing. I think he was singing as well. And he was probably singing his song. So verse 1. I love you, Lord. You are my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress. You're my Savior and my God is my rock, in whom I find protection. He is my shield, the power that saves me, my place of safety. I call on the Lord, who is worthy. Praise, and he saved me from my enemies. And David talks about his relationship with God being the stability and security of his life. About 20 times in Psalm, he refers to God as his rock. This is the stability he finds in his relationship with God. The strength he finds. This whole section is filled with metaphor after metaphor of how he feels about God. His rock, his fortress, deliverer, shield, horn of salvation, stronghold, refuge, savior. All David's exploits, all of the things that he did are wrapped up in this song because he reflects on God and how God has seen him through everything. How he's caused him to fight, but also given the ability to fight and given him victory at every turn. You see, all this is really personal for David. He wasn't talking about somebody else's relationship with God. This is his relationship. There's a point at which today Adam had to stop and said, talk to God about what you're thankful for. It's the same kind of thing that we're seeing here, where David is just saying, there's some things that are important in my relationship with my God, and I want to talk about those things. The ropes of death entangle me, floods of destruction swept over me, the grave wrapped his ropes around me, death laid a trap in my path. But in my distress, I cried out to the Lord. Yes, I prayed to my God for help, and he heard me from his sanctuary. My cry reached his ears. David is describing what it feels like to be trapped. He's describing what it feels like to be pushed in on every side. He describes what it feels like to be alone and knowing that God can rescue, but it doesn't seem to be happening the way that he thought it was going to happen. A lot of times we feel trapped by our circumstances, trapped by our emotions, pushed in. Brian Simmons wrote the Passion Translation, said this in verse 6. The scene is not only a poetic portrayal of how God answered David's prayer, but also a picture of the sufferings of a greater son of David, Jesus, who hung on the cross with cries of agony. God heard him and shook the planet as thick clouds covered the sun. See, this is the thing about the Bible is that everything that's happening to David is a reflection of what's to come when Jesus returns. When Jesus comes as a man, goes to the cross and suffers and dies and is resurrected, it's all in David's story. It's all revealed. Jesus' story is in this story. And David realizes that it's not just about him, but it's about the God who's walking with him and the God who's releasing him. And this is when it gets crazy in verse 7. He starts talking about not what's happening on earth, but what's happening in heaven. And the earth quaked and trembled, the foundations of the mountains shook. They quaked because of his anger. Smoke poured from his nostrils, fierce flames leapt from his mouth, glowing coals blazed forth from him. And you can hear in that song that David was experiencing what was going on in the presence of God. He sensed that there was something powerful going on with God when he was going through the things he was going through. He opened the heavens and came down. Dark storm clouds were beneath his feet. Mounted on the mighty angelic being, he flew soaring on the wings of the wind. Shrouded himself in darkness, veiling his approach with dark rain clouds. Thick clouds shielded the brightness around him and rained down hail and burning coals. The Lord thundered from heaven. The voice of the Most High resounded amidst the hail and burning coals. He shot his arrows and scattered his enemies. Great bolts of lightning flashed and they were your command, O Lord, the blast of your breath. The bottom of the sea could be seen. The foundations of the earth were laid bare. Now, I don't know how David sang this song. All I know is when you sing it, it's different than when you say it. When it comes out as a song, it becomes bigger than just saying the words. And David understood this. David understood that if he would sing out his experience with God, he would engage with God in a much more powerful way. I can feel it. This is not only terrifying, but it's also engaging. Because there's a connection with what God is doing in a different way than if we just read it. It's interesting that when David presented his dilemma before God, God didn't just flip a switch and say, okay, everything's going to be fine now. Do you notice that he didn't remove David from the situation, but he allowed David to walk through the situation and lean and trust on God? To believe in him, find hope in him, and strength in him. He left David in that place of dependence so that he would turn to God. And I don't think, this is just my opinion, but I don't think David would have seen all this had God just plucked him up and removed him from the trouble. But in walking through the trouble, God reveals his heart to David. And he changes David's heart in the meantime. David wasn't being a theologian when he sang these words. He was experiencing God. This is what he sensed about God. This is what he gathered from the spirit that was in him, breathing life to him. The Holy Spirit was in David writing this song. It wasn't just David's words. It was the Spirit of God in him writing, developing a song to the Lord. And like I said, chances are David sang it all of his life. And this song is the culmination of all the experiences David went through. And at the very end of his life, this is where he landed. So CC reached down from heaven and rescued me. You drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemies, those who hated me and were too strong for me. They attacked me the moment when I was in distress. But the Lord, He supported me, and He led me to a place of safety. He rescued me because He delights in me. See, He rescued me because of His delight for me. God rescued me because of His delight for me. He delights in me. The Lord rewarded me for doing right. He restored me because of my innocence. For I have kept the ways of the Lord. I have not turned from my God to follow evil. I have followed His regulations. I have never abandoned His decrees, and I'm blameless before my God. I have kept myself from sin. The Lord rewarded me for doing right. He's seen my innocence. You see, David, in singing this song, not only proclaims his praise and adoration of God, but he also begins to build his own confidence about who he believes in. The song he sings actually gives him confidence. Some people have a really hard time wondering where confidence comes from. A lot of times, confidence doesn't come. Most of the time, confidence, truly divine confidence, doesn't come from experiences changing. From God just taking us out of a troubled place and relieving us from all the pain. But confidence comes as we sing the song of who He is in our lives, as we record back to Him the things that He said to us. We know who we are, and we know who He is, and it changes everything. David now moves in this section from some pretty shaky ground to extolling God's power and expressing the confidence that he has, and it's the only reason that he's pure on the inside is because of what God's done. He hasn't done anything to deserve that purity. He's just leaned into God, trusted him, and God has delivered him. On saying, faithful you show yourself, faithful to those with integrity you show integrity, to the pure you show yourself pure, but to the crooked you show yourself shrewd. You rescue the humble, but you humiliate the proud. It's your lamp, your light, you light a lamp for me. Lord, my God, lights up my darkness. In your strength, I can crush an army, God. I can scale any wall. God doesn't just fix David's problems, but he establishes his presence. He doesn't just fix David's problem, but he establishes his presence in the midst of David's problems. I just pray that over you today, that God establishes his presence in the midst of your financial dilemma, that he establishes his presence in the midst of your hunger and thirst for a relationship, that
that he establishes his presence in the midst of your broken relationships that you want to see mended and healed. That he establishes his presence right in the midst of your loneliness. That he establishes his presence in the midst of your life, and it changes everything. It changes your song. It changes the way you talk about God. Because God's way is perfect. God's way is perfect. All the Lord's promises prove true. He's a shield for all who look to him for protection. Who is God except the Lord? Who but our God is a solid rock? God arms me with strength. He makes my way perfect. He makes me as a sure-footed as a deer, enabling me to stand on mountain heights. My God trains my hands for battle. He strengthens my arm to draw a bronze bow. You have given me your shield of victory. Your right hand supports me. Your help has made me great. You, O Lord, have made a wide path for my feet to keep me from slipping. God has proven himself by his actions. God proves himself by his actions, and it's reflected in David's song. God proves himself in our lives by his actions. The reason why we pray, the reason why we seek his face, the reason why we intercede is not because we're throwing up hope and just hoping that God responds, but he's proved himself by his actions. He's come through. He's made a way for us. He's given us hope. He's strengthened us and given us hope. God didn't only rescue David from those who came to devour him, but he influenced and armed David with divine ability to fight for himself. David became the warrior he was because of what God did in his life and helped him with in his life. God didn't just fight his battles, but he ensured that his battles would be won and then invited David to come with him. He invited David into the battle with him. God didn't want to just remove David from the battles. David had to fight those battles. But he was equipped and armed by a God who didn't just love him, but gave him the assurance that he was going to win the battle, but he was still going to have to fight it. And David fought with God. He fought with God, not against God, but with God. Verse 37. I chased my enemies and caught them. Did not stop until they were conquered. I struck them down so they could not get up. They fell beneath my feet. As you, O God, have armed me with strength for the battle. You have subdued my enemies under my feet. You placed my foot on their necks, and I have destroyed all who hated me. They called for help, but no one came to their rescue. They even cried to the Lord, but he refused to answer. I ground them as fine as dust in the wind and swept them into the gutter like dirt. You gave me victory over my accusers. You appointed me ruler over the nations. People I don't even know now serve me because of you. As soon as they hear of me, they submit. Foreign nations cringe before me. They all lose their courage. And I'll just add, and my courage gets stronger. They come trembling from their strongholds. Again, the Lord's mighty hand is upon us, and it changes the way we do battle. It makes us stronger. It makes us smarter. It makes us be able to endure longer. Our confidence is in our own ability. It's in our ability to stay close to God and to trust God. When we've gone through difficult things in our lives, and we've gone through some in the last couple years, we haven't won because God changed every circumstance and took the pressure off of us. We've gone through some really difficult times as a body, but we've been strong and held together. And, you know, like when we were praying together, I've got, you know, I was amazed at when Randy was praying for Tom up here. Two guys in chairs praying for each other. It was amazing. It was amazing. It's a beautiful picture of how God's restoring us, not out of our strength, but out of our weakness. And we're coming to Him on each other's behalf. And who knows, maybe some people were set free today. Maybe the chains broke from some people's lives today. That was one of the pictures that somebody that's prophetic here saw today, was that over here chains were falling off someplace over here. There were some other things that were going on over here. Anointing fell in another place. All that happens around us all the time. And I think part of it is because we gather together and we come before the Lord together and we seek His face together, and together we experience breakthrough. Together we experience healing. Together we experience wholeness. It's the way we fight. Like Annie was saying, it's the way we fight. That's the way we do battle. And then in the last part of that section, David was describing the fate of his foes, and in great detail. He didn't hold back. Do we have that same confidence? I mean, you saw when I said something like, alluding to the fact that I was going to lose my memory, and people were fighting for me. Like, don't ever stop that. Don't let me talk you out of that. But I mean, we were fighting. We fight for each other. We stand up for each other. We don't let each other fall. A lot of churches, I have to say this, a lot of churches depend on the pastor to make things happen. You're not like that. You don't wait for somebody up front with a mic to do the things that need to be done in the body of Christ. You're the ones who have that heart to see change come. And a lot of times things happen because, not what happens on Sunday, but because of what happens on Monday through Saturday. Because you're being the body of Christ. I just want to encourage you. We're being trained right now for a day that's coming when you guys are going to be heroes in the land. We're not trying to build a stronger, smarter church. We're training ourselves to walk with Jesus in the days ahead. We're training ourselves to do what David was doing. That's why I think he wanted this song sung today and not just spoken about or taught today. Because he wanted us to realize that we're in training now to be like David in the days ahead. Maybe this is part of the keys of David that are spoken of in the New Testament. Maybe part of the keys of David are unlocking healing and restoration wholeness through song. Maybe it's going to be released in a powerful way. That it's not about singing worship songs, but maybe the songs are going to go into the streets and heal people and restore people and bring wholeness to people. Well, he's almost done. The Lord, He lives. Praise to my rock. May the God of my salvation be exalted. He is the God who pays back those who harm me. He subdues the nations under me and rescues me from my enemies. Hold me safe beyond the reach of my enemies. You save me from my violent opponents. For this, O Lord, will I praise you among the nations. I'll sing your praises. I'll give you great victories to you, King. Show unfailing love to your anointed, and David and all his descendants forever. David sings. He takes his heart and he puts it in his mouth and he releases it to God in a way that reflects God's heart. I'm not saying that all scripture should be sung, but I'm saying that there's a song in each one of us. There's a song in you. It doesn't make any difference if you think that you have a voice or that you can sing or not. There's a song in us. And sometimes it comes out in healing and prayer for somebody. Sometimes the song comes out in service. Many of you know that you have a gift of hospitality. That's your song. Some of you have the gift of encouragement. That's your song. But the Word of God is a song, especially the Psalms, are a song that was set apart for God and his people to proclaim to him. Throughout the years, thousands of songs have been written out of the Psalms, word for word. There was a period of time during the 80s when a lot of the songs that came into the modern choruses were literally the words that came out of Psalms. And what it was a generation being inspired to give song to those words. The Psalms were written not to be spoken, but to be sung. Every time you went to the temple, you'd hear the words that were in the Psalms being sung. And they're meant to be sung in our lives too. God loves us. He's faithful to walk with us. And he's going to be enduring through all generations in the days ahead. He's preparing us to walk with him in a way that's going to be remarkable in the future. And I just think it's a privilege to take a song that David sang all throughout his whole life and sing it to the Lord. I mean, I'm just thinking God's saying, wait. I recognize that song. I know that song. And David's on his, close to him on his side. Yeah, Dad, that's the song that I wrote. And it's being sung in Longview today. And I just know that the Father's heart is touched because the heart of David is being expressed in heaven today. And it never stops. Who knows, David might even have been singing with us as we brought that song before the Lord today. But I know one thing for sure, the Father's heart was touched. The Father's heart was touched today because he heard David's song being sung in Longview. Just let the Spirit of the Lord work in your heart right now. There's a power in you that is stronger than you imagine. There's a connection between you and Papa that's more real than you could ever imagine. You have an intercessor at the right hand of the Father, Jesus, who longs to hear your voice. We pray today, Lord, that the voice of the people in this room would be restored, that we'd have hope again, that we'd trust you, that we'd let you love us, and that we would love other people out of that love in a way that would change the city, change our culture. We refuse to fall into the trap of negativity and fighting and bickering and arguing over things. We want to do what's being done in heaven. We want it to be a reflection here in Longview, Lord. So give us a song to sing, and let us sing boldly. Let us sing loud. Let us sing often the glories of our King. Amen. Amen. What are you hearing from the Lord? What have you heard in the last couple minutes? What has he been saying to your spirit? Just come on up. I want to hear what he's saying.
I heard him say, there's no turning back.
Somebody else. What's going on? What's he saying? He's not silent. That's not the God I know.
So I didn't hear a word, but I saw a picture of him striking the city with his glory. He's going to transform our city.
Don't wait. Come on up now. With the line form.
When you were reading that part about he causes my hands to, teaches me to war, that scripture's been going through my mind all week. And it just reinforced that we are the army of God. And he is teaching us how to battle. And I think that was a description that David wrote, not only for him, but for us. This is what he's teaching us, to be the army of God. We are in a place of victory. We fight from the high ground. God has put the enemy under our feet, and God has crushed him to powder. And so we go from a place of victory out into the city, and Jesus gave us a command to preach the gospel, that he had all authority was given to him. Go and make disciples, preach the gospel, heal the sick, cast out devils. All that command that God gave us, that's what his will is for us. That's what we're supposed to. We don't have to ask, what's your will for me? That's it. He told us what to do. And we just have to get up and do it.
I watched the movie Robin Hood last night, and when I had my eyes closed just now, I just kept getting images of Robin in the movie just shooting. And then I got a picture of God the Father it was him with arrows, and he was shooting, and he had perfect shot, and he was getting all of us. He was going right through our hearts. And it was just one after another, and it was a perfect hit. And he was capturing our hearts. And then we would follow him, and we would start taking out our arrows, and we would start shooting. And it was a really powerful image. And I was just overwhelmed by the fact that he loves us so passionately and so desperately. And his shot is perfect. He doesn't miss a beat. He doesn't miss any time that he's coming after us. That he's shooting, and he is, his way is straight and his way is perfect. And I was just reminded of, there were just so many parallels that I saw with Christianity and God the Father. And in the movie that I watched last night, I was seeing time and time again, and just the arrow thing just really struck me hard. And he's passionate, and he will pursue, and he will not give up, and he wants our hearts.
I just heard that each one of us have a song inside of us. It's not just David's song, it's Jody's song and Tammy's song, you know, it's Lisa's song, it's all of us. And that song is his deliverance, his salvation, his rescue. And as you begin to sing that song out, what Jeff's talking about is that supernatural connection to the living God. As you sing your song to him and how he has rescued you and delivered you from your enemies, and how he came down from heaven and plucked you out of the enemy's grasp. And each one sings that song as you allow that to come out. There's going to be a powerful encounter with the living God like you've never experienced.
Yeah. Very good.
I felt like he was saying, I want you to draw close to me. But without regard to that, he goes, I will draw close to you.
He is drawing close.
So about a week ago, my car connects with my phone when I get in the car. Well, it's actually Rick's car. And randomly, last week, when I got in the car, instead of it going to whatever was playing on my iTunes, it went to what was on my recorder on my phone. And I have a phone where I've used the recorder for a very long time to sing the song that the Lord has put in my heart. And it's just something that I've never shared with anybody ever. And when I got in the car, I started to have my phone sing my voice, singing that song of deliverance that happened to me several years ago. And the Lord has taught me that when I'm in those places of where he takes me into a place of really a triumph in trust with him, he's put a song that comes out, and I've recorded that for remembrance. And when I sometimes get away from him and forget how faithful he is, I will pull those songs up and I will hear what he's put in my heart. And I'll remember who he is and what he's carried me through. And I believe that's what Jody was talking about, where there's a song that's in each one of our hearts. And it's a legitimate song because it's your walk. And I have never thought of it before until Jeff just said it, that that's one of the keys of David. And I believe it to be true. That when you can walk through those places with triumph and totally lean upon him and know that he's taking you through that place, that's a key that he's stirring in us right now.
Do you know how intimidating it is to sing while you're in the room?
Psalm 40, verse 3. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord.
Do you know that God sings? Sings over us. Let's stand. God sings over you. Lord, give us ears to hear your singing over our lives. Give us ears to hear your song. Give us ears to hear each other's songs. I believe that there's a day coming when we'll gather together and something will, the chains will fall off and we'll not be worried about what other people think, and we'll just begin to sing our own song. That scripture that Dwayne read has become a form for the charismatic church. Whenever somebody says, sing a new song, there's a form that has become a form for us in singing a certain way, maybe singing in the Spirit, singing being led by the Spirit. But I believe there's a day coming when we sing a new song, it'll be our song. And it'll be a song that reflects the victories in our life and God's faithfulness that he's expressed to us over the years. And all of a sudden, things will start flooding back from our past, and we'll put those things into song and begin to sing them to the Lord. It's going to be that'll be a crazy meeting. That'll be one crazy meeting when the body of Christ begins to sing their own song before the Lord. So prepare our hearts, Lord, to not hold back. Prepare our hearts to not be reserved. Prepare our hearts, Lord, to not filter everything we do through our own self-consciousness. We want to be free to be who you created us to be. And we believe we're on the right track. We believe we're heading that direction, Lord. We thank you for the faithfulness that you've shown us. We love you today. We love you today. Amen. Bless you guys.